Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. I want to welcome you again to another live segment here with Kingdom of Josiah Ministries International. I'm your host, Apostle L.A. Hill, tonight. Amen. Certainly glad for all of you that signed up to join us again on this evening. Amen. We got an awesome and exciting topic that we're going to be discussing tonight. If you were on last night, I certainly know that was a treat. Praise God. I mean, the prophetic anointing that was in the room last night was just powerful. It was a powerful anointing, and I think that everybody was just kind of getting stirred up toward the end of the night, and it just really began to flow even more. But tonight we're going to be discussing in greater detail. We are going to be talking about the nature and the mantle of the apostle. I'm going to say that again. It's the nature and the mantle of the apostle. Amen. So I'm telling you, it's going to be an exciting message tonight. If some of you are not familiar with the apostleship or the apostles' ministry, what's the function behind the anointing for the apostle? If you are unsure as to whether or not there is a need for you to have an apostolic father, how to identify an apostolic father, how to understand the flow and the intensity of an apostolic ministry. Tonight is going to be a good night for you to listen in on. We're going to minister to you in the area of the apostolic and how it relates to the church, how it relates to an individual's ministry, and just kind of discuss where the Holy Spirit wants us to kind of in the areas where he wants us to kind of deal with. So this will be a good night for you all that have had some questions concerning the apostolic ministry and the importance of it, and as well as the nature of it and the reasons why we need that apostolic mantle yet to rest upon our churches. I've known many times when I was sharing last night on the call when we talked about the nature and the mantle of the prophet, we were talking on reference to how we have plenty of prophetic churches. There are a lot of prophetic churches out there. People flow in the prophetic. They sing in the prophetic. They operate and they move in the prophetic. But a lot of times what happens is if you have a prophetic church that lacks the apostolic mantle, sometimes it's good when there is a ordained apostle to come in there and to rest that apostolic mantle upon that prophetic church. It's no different. I believe all fivefold ministry offices need to be operating in the church, but sometimes we can be a little bit too much of the other and not have enough of the other, and you need all essential components operating in the ministry. So tonight we're going to touch on that a little bit in reference to the apostles' ministry. I think God's going to do some awesome things here. You know, if the Lord leads me to flow in the prophetic tonight, I will certainly do that. I'm always excited to move in the prophetic as the Lord will have me to, but tonight we're going to really touch on the apostolic as it pertains to both the nature and the mantle of the apostle. Praise God. God bless you all that have joined us so far tonight. Amen. I see all of my good friends. Amen. Those that we've been knowing for quite some time. Amen. By way of blog talk. Amen. I see Prophetess Isabel. Amen. Awesome woman of God. Amen. I had an opportunity to meet her out in North Carolina. Amen. I see my good friend, Miss Quiet Storm, Denise, all the way from California. God bless you. Amen. I see our good friends from last night from East and or North Carolina and South Central North Carolina. God bless you as well. Prophet R.L. Terry, God bless you. Amen. Certainly glad to see all of you tonight. Listen, we're going to play a couple of more songs, maybe one more at least. If you can, just get on the horn and call somebody. I know it's a lot of people that really need to hear tonight's message, but we're going to go ahead and deal with this topic as it pertains. I actually taught this, and I'm working on a training manual on how to identify apostolic and prophetic ministries. One of the training manuals that we did release a few years ago was in reference to the emerging prophetess. It just gives a clear scope on how to identify the prophetic ministries as it pertains to women in ministry. And I'm telling you, God's going to do some things for the women in 2011. You're about to see an overflow of prophetic and apostolic women that's going to come forth in this age, and they're going to be it's going to be a mighty move in the kingdom of God as it concerns the women of God moving in the apostolic and prophetic giftings. Praise God. So tonight, awesome. I'm excited about what the Lord is about to do here. Amen. And, again, get on the horn. Holler at somebody. Let them know that we're on. Amen. I'm not going to call this particular segment Kingdom Voices anymore. We're going to keep Kingdom Voices. As a matter of fact, with the vision that the Lord has given us with Kingdom McJosiah Ministries International here in Texas, one of our goals is to have a 24/7 international internet radio program titled Kingdom Voices. Amen. Yeah, we're going global with Kingdom Voices, y'all, officially. And I'm looking to get that going real soon. My prayer is to have that up and running within the next couple of weeks. And we've already got the paperwork on the table. It's already ready to go. We're going to be eventually looking for other ministers and churches that are interested in some airtime to bring them on. Again, it's going to be 24/7. We'll be around the clock, around the globe, and people from all over the world will have access to this internet radio broadcast. In addition to that, we have a contract on the table with Wilkins Radio Broadcast in Spartanburg, South Carolina. We have had it for quite some time, and that's to go on four radio stations around the nation, between Florida, Tennessee, New Mexico, and Mississippi. So we're still believing God for that. We do have to come up with certain funds to get it started, and also before we sign the contract. And we just want to believe God for that also to kick off no later than May the 1st as well. Amen. So we believe in God, y'all. It's a powerful vision. As always, we always open up the door for anyone that's interested in partnering with us. You can visit our website at www.kingdomfirstministries. I'm sorry, we're not Kingdom First anymore. We moved from Indiana. Praise God. It's www.kingdomexosia.org. Praise God. Again, that's www.kingdomexosia.org. Again, that's www.kingdomexosia.org. Praise God. We certainly glad if you go ahead and take a visit to the website. Amen. We're still working on it. There's still more that I'm going to add. Amen. As God continues to bless us to enhance it. And we're going to believe God in the future to also be able to redo that website over again someday. Amen. And make it more interactive for all of our guests. Praise God. So tonight again is the nature of the mantle, the nature and mantle of the apostle. Amen. If you missed it last night, I'm telling you it was an awesome word. Amen. I'm going to try to do some quick review as it relates to the nature. Amen. In reference to the office of the prophet as we spoke on last night. Amen. And then we're going to talk about the apostle tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right. So let's go on to another song. Praise God. I want to believe God tonight to do some awesome things here. Praise God. I love worship. Amen. Let's get off into a worship song here tonight. Amen. I want to pray real quickly here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, God. We thank you for the revelation of your word, Father. We thank you for the intensity, Father. We thank you for the thrust, and we thank you for the move of your spirit on tonight, God. Father, I pray that as the word of the Lord shall come forth tonight, Father, that we might be enlightened, Father, but we may also be delivered from our mindsets, God, concerning that of an apostle, Lord, even that concerning that of a prophet, Lord. And, Father, furthermore, even that of a ministry gift, Lord. Father, I pray that we would be strengthened with your wisdom and that we would be drawn into the kingdom of God like never before. And, Father, most of all, I pray that we shall be established as citizens of the kingdom of God concerning your word, concerning your power, concerning your truth, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we begin to revelate, Father, and we begin to come forth according to your word, Lord, Father, I come against the spirit of error on tonight. And, Father, I release us right now, Father, from every bondage, God, right now, Father, that has entangled us, Father, because of untruths, God, because of falseness, God, because of anything that was not revelatory of your word, God. We break the power of the enemy right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And, Father, I pray that you would just continue now, God, to build us up, Lord, to comfort us, Father, to edify us according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And we rebuke every spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation from your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. Real quickly, I want to kind of go ahead and review right away what we kind of discussed last night in reference to both the nature and the mantle. Amen. We kind of talked about, or actually we discussed quite a bit in the area of Elijah last night, which is a really good example of a man of God in the scriptures as it relates to both the nature and the mantle. One of the things that God hit me to share on last night was in reference to how Elijah was even ordained by God to challenge the God of nature, and which was the God of Baal, B-A-A-L, and how God used him to interfere with the very nature of this world by shutting up the heavens. Tonight we're going to talk about the apostles, though, but I want to make sure I reiterate some things and real quick review for some of those that maybe your first time listening to our ministry. But one of the things that we've always taught our leaders in the past, especially when it concerns apostles, is that all apostles are prophets, but not all prophets are apostles. Let me say that one more time. I want y'all to make sure that you make note of this if you've never heard this before. All apostles are prophets, but not all prophets are apostles. And I can give you one more again here. Watch this one. All seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. You know, some people have the ability to supernaturally foresee past the gift of prophecy, so to speak. They have the ability to have dreams and visions and be able to also interpret it. You can see there are many scriptures throughout the Bible when the Lord will command some of the prophets to see, and he'll ask them, "What do you see?" And these are what we refer to as seers. So on tonight, we're talking about the nature and the mantle of the apostle. So let me kind of piggyback real quick so I can bring you into where we're going to go tonight from where we was last night. The nature, basically, the understanding that we get from that is the basic, unchangeable, yet highly influential makeup of a thing. Let's say that again so y'all can clearly understand. It's the basic, unchangeable, yet highly influential makeup of a thing. In other words, like last night we discussed, if you live in a certain part of the country, you kind of have an understanding of what the weather is going to be at a certain part or certain time of the year. You know, right here in Texas, it's just pretty much they got two pretty much good seasons here. They got hot and they got warm. Every now and then it get a little cold, amen. But being that I'm from Chi-Town and by way of Gary, Indiana, you know, they cold is not cold to me. And so, you know, with other parts of the country, you know that you're expecting springtime and there's certain weather patterns that you expect around this time of year. And so these are unchangeable events or unchangeable things. Now, of course, some of us may come from places, you know, and that was where I was from too also, where, you know, we experience four seasons in a day. But generally, without speaking, we know that there's going to be a certain temperature pattern around a certain time of the year, and we can expect that without doubt. Praise God. So, again, nature is the basic, unchangeable, yet highly influential makeup of a thing. Now, when you look at the word mantle is a loose-fitting garment worn by prophets and other officials in authority to signify their position and their power to exercise dominion, or what I like to call the basilia, that kingdom dominion in the earth. I do have to take you to a definition because this blessed me last night, and we talked about this. I was looking in the, and I oftentimes when I'm teaching on the prophetic, I oftentimes kind of reference from the Prophet's Dictionary. And one of the things that we mentioned on last night was how Paula Price talked about the mantle treatment. This really blessed me because we were able to expound upon some other revelatory things that God was giving us. And pay close attention. I don't want you to miss this. She says in the mantle treatment, she says, what is learned, practiced, applied to, and provided for the mantle of ministers to equip and empower them for service to the Lord. These are beyond normal church attendance and believers' Bible studies. I like that one right there. That was the one right there. Y'all need to catch that. Let me say that again. These are beyond normal church attendance and believers' Bible studies. mentorship, schools of ministry, especially for the prophet and the apostle, and ministry apprenticeship are needed for effectively treating one's mantle. These preparations are usually above what the typical Christian gets or is exposed to in Christian or in church services. Their distinction is that they help ministers perform more competently and confidentially in their post. I like this definition because many of us are in a time now where we need mentorship. There are those that are requiring a little bit more influence in the kingdom when it concerns the office that God has called them into. A lot of us are still trying to operate in our capacity as opposed to what has been prophesied to us in the last several years concerning who God has ordained us to be. Some of us have received confirmation after confirmation, and we've had some well-anointed leaders to come in and lay hands on us and to impart and to and activate that thing. And some of us are, yes, yeah, sincerely, we're operating and we're moving in this particular anointing, whether it be the prophetic or the apostolic. But the problem that I'm finding is that we are not being taught by individuals that are already skilled and have the ability to develop us in our specific callings. And this is what she meant outside of the scope of regular church attendance. We got to get past the regular Bible studies and the conferences and things of that nature, and we need to be mentored. This is why it's important for us to have an apostolic father. You know, a lot of times people say, well, what do I need one of those for? Why is it necessary for me to have a covering, and why do I need this? You know, I don't like to refer to it as a covering myself, but when you ultimately understand what God's word is designed for us to do, is to be shepherded by someone who has been moved by compassion just as the Lord to help bring us into our full or into fruition. So tonight I want to talk on the apostle as it relates to the identification of the apostle, and how do we coincide, or how do we relate to a true apostolic vessel? A lot of us, because somebody say the apostle, they say, well, I'm an apostle, and I have several churches and ministries, and I'm over this organization, and we have developed this network, and we have these presiding prelates that are working with us in our ministry. A lot of times, because they show us all of these credentials, we assume that they got what it takes to help us. But I'm here to tell you, you need to definitely try to identify. I've seen some big organizations and people who have attached these titles to their names, and they have no power. One of the things that the Lord shared with me several years ago, he said, son, as you move into this thing, he said, for you to be successful with a true kingdom church that has an apostolic and prophetic flow to it, you have to have three essential things operating in your ministry. He said, son, you need, number one, you need truth. You need to make sure you're teaching my people the truth. I'm going to hold you accountable for teaching my people the truth. They need to know what the truth of God is. That's number one. He said, son, number two, I'm going to hold you accountable for displaying my power. Oh, yes, you're going to be held accountable for releasing the power of God in the ministry. When we preach the kingdom of God, the Bible says that signs, wonders, and miracles are to follow. So we're responsible as leaders to display his power. He says, son, number three is structure. You got to have some structure. There's a new pattern, or there's not a New Testament pattern that I have equipped the original apostles with, as it was when I ordained them in the earth from the beginning. From the beginning of the church age, there was a pattern, and there's a structure that I have given the church to operate in. And this is how we obtain our new wine in the earth. We can't continue to keep trying to pull new wine in the old wineskins. The Bible says when we do that, it'll burst. Praise God. So let's look at this and the scriptures. I want to go to a scripture that we actually unfolded up on last night. And we're going to go to quite a few scriptures here. on tonight, but over in Revelations chapter 2, verse 2. Revelations chapter 2, verse 2. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I always notice a difference, though, when you're teaching in the area outside of the prophetic. You normally attract more people to a call like some such when it retains to the prophetic versus something just pure and apostolic. Because all you have to do is say prophetic, bam, everybody and their mama with you. It's like, oh, I'm gonna get a word from God tonight, and that might be true. You get a word, and you know that's one thing I you know I've learned by being in the Lord. You know, by being in the I've been a local house prophet, and you know, and I've been in positions where, you know, where you have to have a prophetic on demand. You know, people will walk up to you and say, is there a word from the Lord? It's always a word from the Lord. You know, sometimes the word might be you need to get right with him. You need to commit with him. You need to let go of some soul ties. You know, it's always a word from God. Or it may be something comforting. It may be something edifying, something encouraging that will help establish you. So, yeah, it's always a word from God. Amen. No different than the apostolic. We have to understand that even as apostles, that there is always a word from the Lord. Apostles are responsible for listening to that prophetic sound that is coming forth out of the prophet's mouth. You know, I've taught that many, many times in the past. Apostles really need to listen carefully to what God is speaking through his prophetic vessels. In other words, when we listen to them, it provides us with the with that restoration or to give us the ability to establish it in that structure that he's already given us to. We know how to deal with certain things. We know when the enemy is about to attack, and we put different strategies in place. We know what principalities are headed our way, and we know how to deal with them. One thing about apostles are what they call principality policemen. We have the ability to deal with different demons that try to embark upon our regions. That's why, you know, it's important when we go through ordination that there be an announcement made in the heavens over that region that God is assigning us to. I'll talk about that later. Let me go into this before I go off into all of that. Praise God. But Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, it says, I know thy works, and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Wow. Here, let's look at this. I want to share something. One thing we need to understand first when studying scriptures as it relates to the nature of an apostle, you should understand, one, kings are the types of are types of apostles. Let me just put this in here, and I may not even get to this portion of the teaching tonight because I want to first deal with the very nature on how to identify the nature of an apostle. But one thing when you study in scripture and how it relates to the apostle is that the one first thing is kings are types of apostles. The anointed king of the Old Testament was fulfilled in Christ and transformed into the New Testament ministry of the apostle. Keep that in mind. That's number one. Number two, the ministries of the Old Testament priest and the prophet are fulfilled in the New Testament fivefold ministry through the ministries of the New Testament pastor and prophet. That right there I love mostly because, you know, when the prophetic and the apostolic was first coming out on the scene, I had the privilege of sitting under two wonderful men and women of God. They both have passed on and gone to be with the Lord. Amen. But I had the honor and privilege to sit up under them, and both of them had these types of anointings on them. And you can clearly see that kingly and priestly anointing in the house as it related to the function of the church. We oftentimes would have where the worship was so intense that, and we talked about this a little bit on last night, the worship was so intense that the spirit of prophecy would come in the room, and there was sometimes where several people, I mean people who never prophesied before, where the anointing would just fall on them, and they would just begin to prophesy in the room. And this is some of what relates, if you're an Old Testament student, and you understand the prophetic well, you'll see where how the prophetic would fall on certain individuals. Matter of fact, you go in the book of Numbers where Moses, the Bible says that God told Moses to go and put his spirit on his elders. It was at least 70 of them. And the spirit of God fell on the elders, amen, and all of them began to prophesy. And the Bible says that the prophetic was so heavy in the room that even a few of them just kind of stumbled out, and Joshua saw them in the city prophesying. He went to tattletale on them. But the anointing has to be that powerful when you're operating with kingly and priestly anointings in the church, where the prophetic just spill over past the four walls. If you ever been in some intense meetings where the Spirit of God just come into the room when the apostle or the prophet has been ministering, and the people have been up under an umbrella of God's glory, and the power of God has hit the place, people have been healed and delivered and set free, people speaking in tongues, and devils been cast out. A lot of times that anointing is so strong that it spills over into the city. If you look in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2, you see how the anointing was so powerful in that time that when the Spirit of God hit the church, amen, immediately 3,000 people got saved. And that was the intensity of, number one, the apostolic ministry, which is where we're going to focus at here on today. Praise God. Amen. Let's look at some more here tonight. Praise God. So one thing we need to understand about apostles is, number one, apostles must be tested. Apostles have to be tested. Anyone claiming the apostleship has to go through a test. It's not necessarily a man's test, but you'll go through a God test. Even if you just claim in the office of an apostle, and you're really not, God never called you to it, you're going to go through a test. It's necessary. The number one is those that falsely claim this ministry, they're going through a test. Number two, those that are called to this ministry but are not ready, they're being tested for their maturity, and then they're being tested to avoid presumption and impatience. Let me say that again. They're being tested for their maturity, and they're being tested in order to avoid presumption and impatience. A lot of times, people who say that they're apostles, you can kind of pretty much tell their maturity level right away when you see their level of presumption. They can presume stuff all the time. Well, I guess Sister So-and-so just don't like me because she just keep talking about how this is that and way and that way and the other. And, you know, right then and there, you're not mature, because you still all – that right there is a good indication that you're still struggling with rejection. You know, two things I always say about ministry gifts. If you're struggling with rejection and struggling with lust, you have no business behind the pulpit. You need to get some devils cast out. You need deliverance. If you're struggling with them two things, don't get up in front of God's people. Number three thing that will require you to be tested is the ones that are ready and must be able to be recognized by these mature leaders must be able to be recognized by other churches. They have to be recognized by other churches. And that is where quite a few, many younger apostles are probably struggling at right now. There are a lot of even prophets. There are a lot of young prophets that struggle with this, where they've proven their maturity and their gifting, and they have proven their ability and their skill in their office, but the church is still not recognizing the anointing and the gifting of God that is upon their life. Praise God. So here, let's look at some things here tonight. This is a good time to take notes, man, because I'm about to teach this thing, and I'm telling you, one of the giftings that God has placed on my life is the ability to teach. Amen. And I'm going to teach this thing tonight. I want to talk about five characteristics that, as it relates to the nature and the mantle of the apostle. There are five characteristics as it relates to the nature and the mantle of the apostolic function or the apostolic anointing that reveals an individual's ministry. Praise God. So let's look at number one here. Number one is the signs of an apostle. Let's go and read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Like I said, it's a good time to take notes. If not, you might want to come back if you can't, if you're not able. Some of you might be driving and listening. This is an awesome time to take notes. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Amen. And it says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Let me say that again. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So as we look at this, let's say no one can claim to be an apostle without the regular occurrence of this supernatural work in their ministry. Let me say that one more time. No one can claim the office of an apostle without the regular occurrence of this supernatural mark in their ministry. The preaching of the apostle must be accompanied by deliverance from evil spirits, healing the sick, and miracles. Here, watch this. Let's go to another scripture. Look at Acts chapter 5. If you can, flip over to the book of Acts chapter 5. I love to get in the Word, so I pray you that you're able to read along with me tonight. Acts chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And it says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. This is one of the supernatural occurrences that must operate in an apostolic ministry. Now, there's a lot of folks running around with titles of apostle, and I'm telling you, if you just go and sit with them and be up under their ministry for about a month or two, see if you see these things going on. This is a test. This is a true test of apostolic ministry. Now, let me just quickly, I'm going to back up here for a minute, because the apostle is not the only office that's responsible for this. Apostles move in extraordinary miracles. Let's look at another scripture, because we're going to touch on this a little bit more. Apostles also move in extraordinary miracles. If you're still in the book of Acts, flip over to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. I love the actions of the apostles. I mean, Luke took some good notes. Amen. We thank God for Luke. Amen. Acts chapter 19 in verses 11 and 12. It says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like that. I like that. Praise God. Let me say that one more time. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Paul was an apostle. It was clear. It was noted. It was documented in history. It was documented by the church that when he did special miracles, even he used a handkerchief that was ripped from his apron. It says here, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So one of the clear signs of an apostolic and prophetic ministry, and I'm not talking about the apostolic Pentecostal religion. It's a difference, y'all. There's a difference from apostolic ministry versus apostolic Pentecostal religion. It's a big difference. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, we're still going to baptize in Jesus' name. Don't get me wrong. But there's a difference, because here we see an intensity of the supernatural move of God operating in the kingdom of God under the orchestration of an ordained apostle in the church. Watch this. All servants of God, and especially fivefold leaders, should have occasional signs, wonders, and miracles following the preaching of the kingdom. Evangelists, come on somebody, evangelists have special miracles and signs also as a normal part of their ministry. So let's look at this. Watch this. I got to take you to another passage of scripture, and this is also one of my favorites. In Acts chapter 8, if you flip back a little bit, beginning at verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Philip was an evangelist. "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." So not only do the apostles have a great effect on a city, but evangelists also as well. So clearly, this sign and mark of an apostle is not enough to establish the apostleship of a particular ministry gift, but is also, or is one of the characteristics of, an apostolic ministry. So matter of fact, I would say that every ministry gift should be operating in these anointings. There should be a regular occurrence of miracles going on in every ministry gift's ministry. It doesn't matter if you're an apostle or an evangelist, if you're a pastor, teacher, if you're a bishop, if you're a doctor, reverend, I don't care. Every last one of these things, as it pertains to casting out devils, laying hands on the sick and they recover, and the miracles working in a ministry, this should be a regular occurrence in your church. Come on, somebody. All of this should be working all the time. This is how we begin to build the kingdom of God. Here, watch this. Number two. The number two nature and characteristics of a mantle of an apostle. Watch this. Revelations through independent witnesses. We talked about the signs of an apostle. Now, the number two thing is the revelation through independent witnesses. Here, let's go. We're still in the book of Acts. Flip over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2. Praise God. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and Menian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." I love it. I'm going to read verse 3. It says, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." True signs of they being sent away. It shows us that they were being ordained as apostles. This was an ordination that took place. They fasted, they prayed. I didn't say they just made a date and they put it on the calendar and they said, "Let's put out some invitations. Let's invite everybody over to the church and we're going to do an ordination service." There ain't nothing wrong with that. It's good to have, you know, where family can come and they can recognize you and they can honor you because God is elevating you. That's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But if something was going on here in this particular church. The Holy Spirit was speaking to the head leadership, and they were fasting and they were praying, and the Holy Ghost said, the Bible says the Holy Ghost said, not the apostles of the Lamb, they said the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them," and then they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, and sent them away. Praise God, amen. One of the things that I admire about ordination, and I said I was going to hit on this tonight, and I feel led to do it right now. One of the things that I admire the most about ordination, when we talk about revelation through independent witnesses, is that there is always that announcement that's made during ordination. Anytime God gets ready to send someone into a particular region to be ordained over that particular location, there has to be an announcement made. Let me take you over to Matthew chapter 16. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to read beginning. Let me see. Let me go. I'm going to read beginning at verse 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Here's this passage of scripture. We look, and when we read here, we find that there was some sort of controversy going on amongst the disciples. Jesus had asked a question, and he said, "Well, who are all these people saying that I am?" And when you read here, back in verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi." He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am, or say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some saying you Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom you say that I am?" And verse 16 says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19, watch this, pay close attention, because now he's about to, he's in the middle of making an announcement. He says, verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man who Jesus Christ was. Now watch this. Here it is. If you understand geographically where the disciples were standing there with Jesus, they were actually standing up on the top of the city, overlooking the gate of the city. Jesus was making an announcement to the region of Jerusalem when he began to speak to Peter. He said, "Flesh and blood did not or had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So this is an announcement being made. Peter is being recognized now as the leading apostle of the apostles of the Lamb. He's being recognized as a senior leadership amongst his peers, because he was the one who allowed the Holy Spirit, who allowed God to speak to him, and Jesus quickly recognized that and elevated him right here on the spot. He says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church." He was making an announcement over Jerusalem that this now is the man of God. He holds the revelations of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven. He's got access to my glory as it pertains to this region. He was the leading apostle for Jerusalem. My God. My God. This is why it's necessary when an apostle is being sent into a region that there's a recognized network or prophetic presbytery that speaks over his life and can move him into that position, declaring unto the principalities of that region that they've been assigned this particular location, and they now possess the revelations and the keys to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven over that general location. I ain't going to get no amens on this one tonight. Praise God. That's why you just can't be sitting up under any old apostle. Just because they said they're an apostle don't mean that's what they hear. This is why it's necessary for us to understand that we need one another. There's some folks that's done this way before us, and they have been given access to certain areas that God has sent us to. You ain't the first person to get sent. Don't think you are. People been getting sent since the Old Testament. Last night we talked about even how Elijah was one of the first recognized apostles, even though it did not say that in the scripture. But we looked over in Luke In Luke chapter 4, as a matter of fact, I'll take you over there, Jesus was talking to his disciples in reference to the miracles that Elijah had did. Here, look at this. Matter of fact, if you can, flip over to Luke chapter 4. And it says here, he says in verse 24, he says, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heavens were shut up. Three years and 6 months when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent." That word sent, again, is an apostolic terminology used to describe an apostle. Elias was sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in the Israel in the time of Elias unto us, the prophet, and none of them was clean, saying Naaman the Syrian. So we see that if when God sends us somewhere, there's an announcement that's being made, and we're being given charge over a particular territory. It's got to be done. It's very important. Some of you Lone Rangers out there that's listening to me tonight, you know God called you into ministry. Get with some people that you know that's going to be a blessing in your life and that's going to add to what God is doing to you or for you in your life, and that can encourage you and send you out properly. Don't get me wrong. God is our ultimate covering. I don't know if I can stress that enough. Jesus Christ is our ultimate covering. And when you're sent and when you're called of God, when you've been ordained by God, you will have some success. But when you praying for one another, glory to God, like the Bible says, pray ye therefore for one another. When you're following the principles of the scripture, when you're doing all that God tells you to do, there is a blessing in that. You have more success in the kingdom of God when you have citizens of the kingdom of God backing you when God sends you. Glory to God. All right, so let's look at this. The public calling of Paul and Barnabas to the ministry of apostleship illustrates the principle of independent witnesses. Paul and Barnabas already knew that they were called to be apostles. The Holy Spirit had spoken to the three other men present that he had called Paul and Barnabas to the work of the apostle. Look at this. Watch this. Go back over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, praise God. Amen. Look at this. It says, "I have called them." In Acts chapter 13, it says, "I have called them," where we read in verse 2. This indicates that the Holy Spirit had previously revealed the apostolic calling to them. Look at that. It says, "I have called," called being past tense, "have called them." So Paul and Barnabas had heard this before. So timing was key. At the right time, the Holy Spirit then revealed the word of knowledge, this fact to the other witnesses, who in turn revealed it and confirmed it to the church. So any undeveloped apostolic calling must not step out before their time by being impatient and try to install themselves as an apostle. A lot of people doing this. I'm telling you, just a few years that I've been on MySpace and Facebook, I've seen more folks emerge from prophet to apostle overnight than anything. I'm telling you, it's almost kind of crazy. You see a lot of folks, and don't get me wrong, that's nothing to say. That's like we said earlier, that God never called them. You know, I'm all for it when God elevates you and he calls you to a higher office. I'm all for that. Glory be to God. Amen. But we want to make sure that you're not stepping out there being impatient and presuming that it is your time. That's not God's order for us. Matter of fact, here's some other examples, and I had to note this down, as opposed to how people quickly elevate themselves into higher offices, and not just the apostle. There's been internet ordinations. Matter of fact, you can go anywhere on the internet. As a matter of fact, you can even click on the sidebars on even talk show, and you'll see little notes and it say be ordained for free or something crazy like that. And then you have false pretenses. People walk into callings under false pretenses. And the number three is unestablished networks with no integrity. It's a lot of them out there. You got unestablished networks with no integrity. They're not honest. They're not true. They mess folks' lives up. They have you sowing into things that don't even exist. Watch this. Number four, independent confirmation. Independent confirmation. You don't just step off into a higher calling because you felt that that's what God was calling you to. Heck, I knew I was going to preach when I was 5 years old. Always knew it. Always had the desire burning in my heart. It still burns in my heart. Almost 40 years later, it still burns in my heart just as much as it did when I was 5 years old. That same call of God, it burns the same way. But I did not independently put myself into position. Oh, man, I know. I think five people just got delivered from that. Glory to God. Watch this. Apostles are confirmed by the Holy Spirit. This comes through the gift of prophecy. God will give prophets to the apostle as witnesses. Many of them will come by revelation. Taking the title too soon or too early in your ministry could be fleshly and cause you to miss the timing of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Paul said to wait upon your ministry. I say wait upon the Lord. Wait on him. Don't be so quick to move into a place that God has not called you to. Most apostles know who they are. If you're an apostle, you know that God called you to apostleship. Matter of fact, if you know you're a prophet, if you know you're an evangelist, if you know you're a pastor or a teacher, if you know that if you're called to some function of ministry capacity, you already know who you are. So there are those who seem to have the characteristics and the functions of an apostle. However, they deny their call. Matter of fact, man, I'm telling you, I've been around people who deny who they are. And this is an ongoing thing in the kingdom. Ongoing. I've seen so many folks that will say that they one thing and they're not. And then they'll even call folks one thing that they ain't. And then when you try to reiterate to them what God is calling them to, they fall out with you. And it's just like it's a never-ending mess of craziness, because they can't seem to captivate their identity in the Lord. And what's interesting is that when you go back and you read Jesus, when he was speaking to Peter, he had to tell Peter who he was. He had to give him an identity of who he was, and then give him an identity of the way he saw that he was, and then to tell him what he expected him to do. That was a part of his ordination process, and that was his access to receive the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to get the keys to unlock the mysteries. Look at this. Watch this. This is the same for other ministry gifts such as prophets and prophetess, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We can easily assume that an individual who refuses to acknowledge his or her ministry is either practicing false humility or must not be that gift in spite of appearances. Ain't no way you can walk around and think that you have to look like an apostle. What do an apostle look like? Somebody tell me. Is he supposed to be stiff-necked and wear a fish hat and a collared shirt with the little priestly collar and wear these long robes and walk around with a staff? Is that how an apostle is supposed to look? You know, some people have that presumption in their mind. They have this image because some of the churches that we have associated ourselves with, they display prophets and apostles to look like that. I'm here to tell you, that's not the way that they look. Glory to God. Apostle Paul was very clear about his apostleship, just as the others were. However, the Apostle Paul never made statements about his apostolic call in his letters until years later when he was walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. True apostles that know who they are wise to be guarded about advertising their apostolic calling, especially when they only have a few characteristics operating. So that's not to say that you're not an apostle because you don't have all of the characteristics operating in your ministry. You might just well be moving in signs and wonders, and you can preach a good revelatory word, and you've been truly tried and tested through this thing. But that's probably the only thing really functioning in your ministry at the time, and you know that God called you to apostleship. But that don't necessarily give you the right to walk around with a sign up in the air and saying, I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle. Hey, look, I'm an apostle. Got business cards. I'm an apostle. Hey, I'm an apostle. No, you don't need to do all of that. It's not necessary. The Apostle Paul didn't even do that. And if you study the word, you'll see that. Watch this. The number three nature and characteristic of a mantle of an apostle. Other ministers or ministries, gifts, are given to apostles. Here, watch this. Let me say that again. Other ministers and other ministry gifts are given to apostles. And, you know, this number three thing, this might be an ongoing thing for most apostles. I know it is for me. It's always a regular thing for us. A lot of times, you know, we could go probably months where we don't really have a lot of people coming under the network or trying to look for assistance or covering or anything like that. And I'm good with that because you'll find out I'm one of those apostles. I'm not real quick to cover people. I got to check your fruits for a minute. I need to see who you are, because in the past we've covered folks and we've assisted them and we've done all that we can to be a blessing to them. And the next thing you know, when they wasn't satisfied about something that we said in regards to chastising them, you know, it ended up being something else. So I'm not real quick to cover everybody anymore. I kind of bagged off of that a little bit. But one of the things that we do also, we do offer it, but we will pray about it for a while before we officially do it. Amen. Amen. So let's look at this. Other ministers or other ministry gifts are given to apostles. Team ministry is the third characteristic in identifying apostolic ministry. Other ministers or ministry gifts will by revelation come and work with the delegated apostle. And a lot of times, and I want y'all to really catch this, because, you know, even in spite of what I just said, some of you all definitely need to do a check in your ministry. You need to find out, hey, am I being accountable? Is anyone holding me accountable? Do I have anyone that has oversight over me? And, you know, one of the things that you know, I'm not going to probably touch on as much tonight. I might probably end up doing a part two on this because I could teach on this all night. But one of the things about the characteristics and the nature of a really good apostle is they carry a shepherding anointing. A really good apostle has a shepherding dimension about their ministry where they know how to shepherd other leaders. They're like a pastor to pastors. They have the heart of the leadership, and they know how to spend time cultivating and mentoring and upgrading other leaders. You know, you find a lot of elderly gentlemen that are yet preaching the gospel of the kingdom right now that have this type of anointing. You know, I'll even go as far as to say you have men like that we see normally on television, like the T.D. Jakes and the Charles Blakeleys and some of those men of God. G.E. Patterson, Bishop G.E. Patterson, he passed away. Amen. But that was an awesome man of God who had an apostolic a mantle on his life, but he had a shepherding anointing for other leaders. All of this is necessary when operating in the apostolic dimension, where you have the ability to shepherd other leaders and to be that forefather. You know, I'm going to throw this out here because I talked to someone about this one night. You know, one of the reasons why I believe that we put a lot of emphasis on the father is because we develop the characteristics, or we carry the blood of our fathers even in the natural. You know, don't get me wrong. I believe I'm all for the women, but one thing that we always kind of omit the men out of when it comes to nurturing and birthing and things of that nature is that, and this is gonna blow your mind, I was not that good in biology. I'm gonna tell you right now, I was not that good at it. I did pretty okay. I was average, but not that good. And the Lord revealed to me, he said, son, did you know that the male is the one who carries the seed? And let's just let that thinking sink in your spirit for a minute. From the moment that you're born, from the moment that you are released, your seed is released in the womb of your mother, you are now carrying seeds for the next generation. I said, my God. And then the Lord began to show me, he said, every child that is birthed in the earth carries the blood of their fathers. They have the blood and they have the DNA of their fathers in them. That's how they're identified through their father. He said, I could have easily, you know, made it so where you're identified with your mother, but you're identified with the father. Same in the spiritual. We identify with our father in heaven. When Jesus was born by Mary, it was the Holy Spirit that released a seed into her womb and birthed forth Jesus Christ. It was because of the Father that he had to carry his Father's DNA into the earth to establish the kingdom. Oh, my God, I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. I hope y'all pay close attention. You know, well, I always hear the women, they say, well, I carried you for 9 months. Well, it was the Father that's been carrying you all those years and put his seed in the womb of the woman. Oh, my goodness, glory to God. So, one thing is important is that we develop the DNA of our fathers, same way in an apostolic ministry. When we come forth with our apostolic fathers have the potential to impart into us and to activate us and to release us and to send us. That's why it's so important, y'all. Apostolic ministry. It's more. It's more than just a Pentecostal religion. It's more than just a formality or more of a formula of baptism. It's more than that. Team ministry is the third characteristic in identifying apostolic ministry. Other ministers or ministry gifts will by revelation come and work with the delegated apostle. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Amen. I want to read over there. Acts chapter 20. Praise God. Acts chapter 20. In verses 4 through 5, I love this. Here, watch, let's read this. It says, and there accompanied him unto Asia, Sopater, and Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius, and Derbe, and Timotheus, and Asia, Tychius, and Trophimius. Those going before tarried for us at Troas. All right, let's go back up to chapter 19, verse 22. And it says, so he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but himself stayed in Asia for a season. Now, I read it like that for a reason, because we just talked about some of the third characteristics of team ministry. Apostles a lot of times will develop different teams and give them assignments and certain tasks to perform in the area of ministry. Timothy was always with Paul. Paul was Timothy's apostolic father. One of the things that I want to recommend that many of you read, especially in the area of where some of you have been taught in reference to spiritual bastards. Go and read a book. I recommend this book. You can probably download it for free on the internet. And it's called Apostolic Fathers and Spiritual Bastards by Roger Sapp. Again, it's Apostolic Fathers and Spiritual Bastards by Roger Sapp. One of the biggest controversies that, you know, I myself personally came to see in the church, and I've seen a lot of people build their ministries off of this, where they refer to people as being spiritual bastards, and the first thing they do is say, you need a father to come in to cover you. You know, that right there is intimidation, and it's also manipulation to make somebody come into your covering. You know, I don't agree with that. You know, I believe that you need to identify with an apostolic father, true enough, but you need to find out who God wants you to identify with. You don't just go under somebody's ministry because they told you that you was a spiritual bastard. That's just not God. You know, a lot of times you see some of these folks that reiterate being fathers, apostolic fathers, is that everybody pay their tithes into them, everybody give their money into them, and it's just, it could be kind of crazy. So I don't totally agree with that. I think if God ministers to your heart about having an apostolic father, that father that would mentor you would be wise enough to train you. He would be accountable to you as well as you're accountable to them. And he would provide wisdom and direction and offer you the necessary resources and tools to help you to grow as to be a better leader in the kingdom of God. You know, so I definitely want to recommend that book for those that have had some struggle with that in the past. It's called Apostolic Fathers and Spiritual Bastards by Roger Sapp. Here, let's go to another scripture, Acts chapter 17, verses 14 through 15. Praise God. Acts chapter 17, verses 14 through 15. Amen. Ain't God good tonight? Praise God. I pray y'all getting an understanding. I believe that with all I getting, we're supposed to get an understanding. Amen. In Acts chapter 17, verses 14 through 15, it says, "And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." So yeah, oftentimes as an apostle, there are going to be those that's going to be with us, they're going to travel with us, they're going to minister alongside with us, and then there's going to be those that's going to stay behind because there's a need somewhere else, and because you're being developed by a seasoned and apostolic leader, you know, you'll have that authority and you'll be given that task to deal with that church that's being put over your oversight. Amen. And I believe that this is where the ministry of the bishop also comes in. Amen. I believe where the ministry of the elder comes in, where they're given particular oversight, that pastoral anointing, where you're given oversight. Amen. And this is necessary for the apostle as acting as a presiding shepherd over a particular group of people or churches. So wherever you find apostolic ministry, you should find individuals like Timothy and others whom God is training for ministry. There should always be somebody that's a part of an apostle that's being properly mentored in the kingdom of God, that's receiving insight, that's receiving wisdom, that's receiving impartation, that's receiving the keys to the kingdom of heaven. An apostle should have the ability to help establish others to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom. If you got an apostle that you sit up under and you've been up under their teaching and they flow very fluently in the prophetic, they speak in tongues, they interpretate in tongues, they revelate the word, they have a heavy teaching, a mantle on their lives, they're very versed in scripture, amen, and they definitely are ones that seek after the face of God. They believe in worship, they believe in going forth in the things of God. If you're part of an apostolic leadership like that, that same anointing should be at some point spilling over into your life. You should have received a portion of that anointing. And I'll tell you another thing. A lot of times when there are ministry gifts that are interested in connecting with different apostolic leaders that carry that type of mantle on their life or flow in this particular nature, you might, when you invite these particular individuals into your local church, you definitely want to sow into that anointing. Because a lot of times when we sow into that anointing, we receive that anointing into our own lives. Oh, yeah, I'm going to prove it in the Word. I know I'm shaking up y'all religion tonight. Praise God. It's important that we learn how to tap into this. Glory to God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 over in verse 10. Amen. I've been ministering from this passage of scripture for a long time. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown." My God, I love it. "And increase the fruits of your righteousness." Let me say it again for some of y'all that missed it. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So it's important that you sow into the anointing that comes into your house, or even when you go into their house. If that anointing is bearing witness with your spirit and you're being increased and you're growing from that anointing, from that vessel, from that apostolic and prophetic person that's ministering to your life, you want to sow into it. Because the Bible says, he that ministers seed to the sower, that's just like tonight, I'm ministering seed to the sower. You don't become the sower until you sow back into the anointing that I'm sowing into you. So both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's necessary. We need to understand that. Amen. So let's look at the number four thing. The number four characteristic, the fourth nature of the mantle of the apostolic ministry or the apostle. And this is the seal of the apostleship. It's the seal of the apostleship. Praise God. Amen. Amen. The seal of the apostleship. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 2. It says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I myself, I cannot be recognized as an apostle without that seal. The very fact that the people that God has given me charged over, that they can see the seal of mine apostleship bears witness to them and the Lord. Here, let's look at this. While an individual may have the calling of an apostle, the church at large should not recognize or honor him as an apostle until they have the seal of apostleship. This seal is to have fully functioning churches under his authority. Elders are appointed by the apostles to oversee the churches. The apostles' authority is recognized by those he has appointed in each location. This is the fourth characteristic and the qualification of the apostolic ministry. Praise God. Let me back up. I want to share that one more time for some of y'all that missed that. I know I see a few people that just come in a little late here. Glory be to God. While an individual may have the calling of an apostle, the church at large should not recognize or honor him as an apostle until they have the seal of apostleship. This seal is to have fully functioning churches under his authority. Elders are appointed by the apostle to oversee the churches. The apostle's authority is recognized by those he has appointed in each location. This is the fourth characteristic and the qualification of the apostolic ministry. Now, note this. Watch this. Church planters are not always apostles. Anybody can plant a church. Actually, planting a church can be administrative. Anybody can plant a church. And you have to recognize that that does not qualify you immediately as an apostle, because you know how to get some paperwork together and administrate some things in motion and operate a fully functioning church. That doesn't qualify you as an apostle. Anybody can plant churches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to reiterate that, because I see a lot of that going on too. So most apostles start small and are received by a few churches as their apostle before ever being recognized on a larger scale. Every apostle is tested by their success and fruit on a small scale before the church at large recognize him. So it's important that we don't just get so off on our high horses and we assume this apostolic role in front of people and we try to make it seem like we got it going on. Some of the best, most qualified apostles are the ones who recognize that they're yet still emerging on the scene, and that they're being constantly tested and tried throughout their time as they're being elevated by God. Here, watch this. This is the one that all of you all need to hear very carefully, y'all. Because a lot of times we feel like because we're under extreme attack from the enemy that we might be sitting under the wrong ministry. So the number five nature and characteristic of an apostolic ministry is the greatest opposition that you can receive from evil principalities or evil prince angels. Let me share that one more time. The number fifth nature or characteristic of the mantle of an apostle's ministry is to receive great opposition from evil prince angels or from principalities that try to bombard the region that God has given you. Let's look at this. So the fifth characteristic of apostolic ministry is easily overlooked and misunderstood by the church. The church seems to believe that ministries that are unopposed and accepted must be blessed, and that that ministry that is opposed by others must have something wrong with them. Quite the contrary is this, though. It's totally the opposite. Apostolic ministries can be identified by the amount of opposition it receives. Apostles will encounter very serious demonic opposition in different forms. The enemy will seek to overwhelm the apostle before he even gets started. I don't know if I got some witnesses out here, but I remember when God called us into the ministry on our own, and I wasn't even thinking about being no apostle. Matter of fact, it never even crossed my mind. I was satisfied being a local house prophet, and I was okay with that. But when God told me and called me out, and he did me just like he did Paul and Barnabas, he said, separate me. The Holy Ghost said it, separate me. And immediately when God did it, he began to speak to my spirit about the apostles' ministry, and I began to receive those independent witnesses. That must have went on for over a year's time. And eventually, when I still try to kind of deny going into it, God started pushing me further into it and confirming it and dealing with me about the apostleship. The next thing I know, I was being attacked on the job. I end up losing a job and getting a car repoed in the same day. Come on, somebody. I mean, we got hit with sicknesses and all type of stuff was going on. It was just one thing after another. It was just one attack on top of the other. It was like there was just no breathing room. As an apostle, as someone that has been called of God, as someone that has been called to lay their life down on the line, you are one that receives extreme attack from the enemy. You up under extreme pressure. We talked about pressure last night. You under intense warfare. But I'm telling you, because of the anointing and the grace of God that's on your life, God will give you the tools. He will give you the weapons. He will give you the wisdom to deal with it. One of the most wisest words that I can share with another apostle to the other is sometimes God won't always spiritually intervene in an attack from the enemy that's on your life. A lot of times he's allowing it, but he's requiring you to step out on faith and implement the spiritual wisdom that he has imparted into your spirit to develop a strategy against the enemy to deal with what's coming upon you and upon the region that he's assigned you to. Remember, as an apostle, you have been ordained by God as a principality police over your region. You're supposed to know what's coming in the gates of your city and what's going out the gates of your city supernaturally. That is your responsibility. And sometimes you may not always have a prophet alongside you to deal with some of the stuff that's going on in your region. God might assign a couple of emerging prophets to your ministry, and they haven't been properly equipped to deal with demonic warfare as well as they need to be when they get assigned to your oversight. No, that's your responsibility. You're accountable for training up those leaders. You want to be an apostle? That's what you're supposed to be doing. I know I'm stepping on some toes tonight. I even feel in my spirit it's going to be a few up in the archives listening to this word tonight. I'm telling you, this word is definitely for this season. God wants to deal with us and get us to understand the essential functions of the apostolic and the prophetic offices. We have to understand it because the church has shifted. 2011 was not just a year to implement a new decade, but it was also a year to put us into a different dispensation of grace, whereas God is getting ready not only to judge this planet, but he's getting ready to judge the church in a way where we're going to be held more accountable for the things that we have done in the past. We're in the days, as we move closer into 2012 and 2013, we're in the days of Ananias and Sapphira. I bet you won't lie to the Holy Ghost. My God. Here, look at this. Let's look at this. Apostolic ministries can, again, be identified by the amount of opposition it receives. Attacks will come from accusations, which is the primary weapon of the enemy. The name Satan means the accuser or the opposer. The Greek term for devil means the slanderer, as to the Hebrew, again, Satan. Here, let me take it to a scripture. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is why, as an apostle, you have to remain humble. I'm telling you, when God begins to deal with you, you have to remain humble. I'm going to share this with you. Matter of fact, I think I'm gonna bag up a little bit because I want to share the whole portion of this particular chapter. Over in the book, in the first verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." In other words, Paul was being transformed or transformated up into the glory of God. He was in the presence of the Lord. He says, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or not in the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." Verse 5 says, "Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my own or in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Let me tell you something. Every leader that's on this line tonight, a lot of times God will do some supernatural things in your life, and he'll give you the opportunity to share a testimony about how you had visitation, how angels came to minister to you, and how you experienced being caught up into the heavens, and God showed you some things in the spirit, and you may even go as far as to minister these things to the people of God and people we slain under the power of God and delivered and set free. But when we get to a place where people only recognize the level of our ministry by these particular testimonies that we share, and all the glory be placed on us versus the glory being placed on God, you better believe you getting in trouble. Anytime all of the focus is turned on you and turned away from God, you will be in trouble. And the Apostle Paul is simply trying to tell us here in his scripture, he's trying to tell the people, look, don't look at me just because all of this happened to me. This is not something that I want y'all to glory in me, but this is what God was doing for me, and glory in him, not in me. And because the people began to glory in him, look at this, watch this, let me finish reading. Verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And, you know, I often ask the question, I said, do we understand what that thorn in the flesh was that the Apostle Paul had? Here, look at this again. As per the translation for the word messenger, here is inconsistent with anywhere else in the New Testament. The Greek word translated here is angel. In other words, the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh was an angel of Satan, or demonic accuser, or demonic oppressor. Remember, attacks will come from accusations, which is the primary weapon of the enemy. The name Satan, again, means the accuser or the opposer. The Greek term for devil means the slanderer, as to Hebrew, again, Satan. So God allowed this thorn in order to balance the great revelations that Paul was given. It kept him from getting in pride. Paul, let me tell you, out of all of the apostles, we're talking about the apostles of the Lamb. Do you know if it had not been for the apostle Paul, right now in 2011, we would be great Judaisms. We would be so full of Judaism, it would be funny. Thank God for the apostle Paul. Thank God for his ministry. Because if he had not had the revelation of the gifts of the Spirit, if he had not been given the revelation of the ministry gifts, if he had not been given the revelation of the fruits of the Spirit, we'd be in trouble. Paul received some revelation that would just upset y'all today. I'm telling you, if he never had received it, we just would be a bunch of great old Judaisms. That's what we would be. So we have to thank God. Paul had to be humbled. God literally gave Paul a devil because of all of the revelation that he flowed in. God gave Paul a devil to keep him humble. So when you, why are you walking around here talking about, dang, I'm just always under attack. I don't know why I'm going through this. Everybody not meant to have a mega ministry and have millions of dollars to have a great ministry. And then again, there's some ministers that got mega ministries, got millions of dollars, and got a lot of devils. Come on, somebody. It's just that way. Here, look at this. Apostolic revelation serves to increase opposition rather than decrease the opposition. The greater the revelation of Christ and the kingdom in the life of the apostle, the greater the opposition from evil principalities and evil prince angels. I'm telling you, you have to be prepared. The word apostolos also means commander. It comes from the word commander. It comes from somebody who's up under great opposition and great strength. And you have to be able to direct your people. You have to be able to have good structure in place, and you have to know how to implement strategy and have good structure so that you can obtain the necessary patterns of heaven to deal with your assigned territory. Every city and every region is different. I can't expect to go to Miami, Florida and minister the same way I do in Temple, Texas. I can't expect to go to Gary, Indiana and minister the same way there that I would in Oakland, California. No, it's different devils that have been assigned to that region. So I need to be able to obtain the patterns and the strategies from heaven by getting in the presence of God as an apostle and getting into counsel with the other elders of the church so that I can receive my assigned task from the Holy Spirit to be able to deal with this region that God has assigned me to. My God. So this apostolic thing ain't just some ministry with a higher calling and a good title to obtain because I can preach a good message. I can stand up in the pulpit and I can huff and puff and I can act like I got a little asthma and unloosen my tie and pound the podium a few times and make the folks jump and shout and get the minstrels to play the Hammond B3 and people get a couple of rolls in the floor and maybe some oil wiped on their forehead and we just go home. Oh, Pastor Shaw preached a good message tonight. Whatever. That ain't apostolic. That's church. That's religion. That ain't apostolic. That ain't even prophetic. Sit yourself down and get some revelation. We need some people that's going to come forth in the word of God with some wisdom that's been established in the principles of the kingdom, that can operate in the limelight of the glory of God, that know how to access heaven, and that can obtain the mysteries of the kingdom by using the keys and the strategies and the patterns of the New Testament church and operate under strong apostolic and prophetic authority and release the word of the Lord into the earth. My God. God is preparing this decade of leaders for an even greater move of God. We're about to see an unleashing of an army of apostolic and prophetic people that we've never seen before. I see that God is raising up young people. I mean, I can see right now how God is raising up individuals between the ages of 17 and 27. These individuals have an anointing on their life. God is restructuring and repatterning the way that we receive his blessings in the earth, just like he did in the Old Testament, when you would read about some of the young men and how God would anoint them. Some of these men are being hidden. One thing that, and I'm going to talk about that because I feel led to deal with this in another teaching as far as the apostolic is concerned. But God will oftentimes, he would raise up individuals from birth and that have been called into the apostolic and even in the prophetic, and he would hide them amongst the people. He would anoint them. He would release prophetic utterance over their life, but he would keep them hidden from the people in order so they don't get tainted by unspeakable false truths and things that will taint their ministry in the future. God would keep them pure as lambs without blemish, because that's what we become as an apostle. You're a lamb fit for the slaughter. That's what you become. You become a sacrificial lamb, just like the Lamb of God. You have to be willing to lay your life down to become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for it is our reasonable service. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to go to a song. Amen. And we're going to believe God tonight. I'm going to open up the lines. Amen. And we'll pray. Amen. And we'll touch and agree with you. And if the Lord say the same, we'll move strategically in the prophetic as God will charge us to. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 I want to thank everybody again that was able to join us on this this evening. I know by being Sunday night, most folks is attending their late evening services or just simply hanging out with the family. Amen. It is the last day of the weekend, and everybody got to go back to work on tomorrow or back to school, whichever one you're doing. Amen. We pray, God, that you all have something to do on Monday morning. If it's nothing but getting up in the morning and giving God some praise, amen, we just thank God for you, amen, being able to be a part tonight. Amen. I pray that y'all was blessed. I am going to unmute all of the lines. If you got any black background noise, please go ahead and mute your phones. If you got your phone on speakerphone, if you can, please mute them as well. And you can just kind of chime in if you want to talk. Amen. Praise God. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen.
God bless.
God bless you. God bless you.
Apostle Hill?
Yes.
This is Joanna. How you doing?
This is who? I'm sorry.
This is Joanna. Joanna.
Joanna, Moore. God bless you. God bless you, Joanna. How are you?
I'm good. I have one of my customers here. I'm at work, and she would like to have prayer. I drive a taxi cab. And she would like to have prayer. Her name is Yolanda. I'm going to give her the phone so she can speak with you. Hold on just a second.
All right.
Hello?
God bless you, Yolanda. How are you?
Fine.
Good, good. How you been? Where you from?
I'm here. I'm from Springfield.
Springfield, Illinois, or?
Springfield, Illinois.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Yolanda, if you don't mind, I want to give you a prophetic word before I pray for you. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a prophetic word before?
No.
No? All
yeah,
right.
I heard.
say what now?
Yeah, I heard. I was in church today.
Yeah, well, have you ever had anybody give you a prophetic word? Anybody ever prophesied to you before?
Yeah, my Aunt Barbara, when she was here before she passed away.
Okay. All right. Well, this is going to be a blessing for you. So I just want to share with you. I hear the Lord saying that you've been through some trying times in the last 3 or 4 years, where they've been very, very trying. Matter of fact, it's been some moments where you felt like giving up. You just want to throw in a towel from time to time. And even when you go to church, you try to find a place where you can be strengthened and a place where you can, you know, feel welcomed. And you have not always felt that way when you attended church. Am I talking good so far?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure because it sounds like you never received a prophetic word before. So I want to make sure. I'm going to take it a little slow with you. Amen. But I do hear the Lord saying for you that he wants to bring you to a season where he can comfort you and that he can be everything that you have always believed him to be. See, it's almost as if you had some times where there was just a lot of a facet, unrealistic viewpoints of who God really was, when in fact God just really wants you to know that he loves you and he cares for you. And he's there for you. God hears your prayers. Because there's been times where you even doubted where he even listening to you. But he hears you. And he hears you. And even tonight, as you get ready to go home tonight, you know, you've already contemplated on what you're going to do before you go to bed. But I'm telling you, the Lord is even now beckoning you to come into his presence and just to spend some time with him in prayer. When you take time to pray tonight, I want you to really sincerely open up your heart to the Lord and allow him to come in. This is necessary for you to establish a greater commitment with God. And I say that because the enemy has specifically targeted you and literally would like to take you out of here within the next couple of years. And God says no. He says no. He gonna do all that he will and he can to keep you out of this bondage. As a matter of fact, and when I get ready to pray, we're gonna ask the Lord to send ministering angels your way. And I don't mean just spiritual angels, but I mean people that preach the gospel of the kingdom, people who have authority in the kingdom, people who can prophesy just like I'm doing with you tonight, people who have the anointing on their life to minister salvation and healing, people that are mean business and they are about the Father's business of the kingdom. Okay.
Okay.
But really take this time and really adhere to what I just said to you and trust God tonight. Get into a place of fellowship and prayer with God and find you some place where you feel comfortable going to church, because it sounds like you're just going to a church where, you know, because somebody else went there. And, you know, you felt like that it was just okay, and you pretty much kind of felt content with just being there because it's the right thing to do. But that's, but in a nutshell, you don't feel like it's your home church. You don't feel at home. Am I talking good tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Praise God. Father, we thank you for Yolanda, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done, Lord, and everything that you're going to do in her life. Lord, I pray that you would just, even now, God, begin to touch her heart, Lord. Minister to her spirit, Lord. And you would send ministering angels her way, God. Men and women of God, Lord, that have been ordained by you, Lord, to speak the unadulterated word of God, Lord. Those that will prophetically evangelize and come into her presence, God. Those that will be transformable, God, and that will be very outspoken concerning the kingdom, Lord. Let them begin to walk across her path even now, God. Lord, I pray that you would even send ministering angels to hover around her even at night, Father, while she sleep, to minister to her heart, Lord, while her heart is awakened, God. Father, I pray that you would just begin to come forth out of her belly like rivers of living water, Lord, and that you would fill her with your spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I rebuke even the naysayers around there, Father, all those that have been negative, Father, and talk very abruptly about her, God, and just have spoken evil against her, Father. Lord, we rebuke it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And we command that the peace of God that shall surpass all understanding, Lord, begin to overshadow her even now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for your blood that covers her, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And we rebuke every spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. God bless you, Yolanda. You be encouraged. You be encouraged. And whatever you was planning on doing tonight, tomorrow night, and any other night when you go home, don't do it. Get in the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Get in the presence of God. It's going to be vital for you. Your next 2 years in the Lord is crucial. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
amen. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you too. You have
praise
a wonderful evening.
You too. Praise God.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Apostle Harry, this afternoon.
Good, good. Who am I speaking with?
This is Sister Crystal from Whiteville, North Carolina.
God bless you, Sister Crystal. How are you?
I am blessed. I am blessed. I would just like to share a quick testimony right quick. And I also have a young lady on the who also had joined in with me. She's on three-way, and I, you know, am really needing somebody to go up in prayer with her. But right quick, I just need to share my testimony. I want to thank the Lord for how, first of all, for being alive on today, for allowing me, you know, for allowing me to see another day, for having my right mind, health, and strength. I truly want to thank God for the word that you gave me on last night, because I can really, truly, and honestly say that the word that you prophesied to me on last night, the Lord had really started confirming some things and working it out in my favor. He really started showing himself to me on today, and I truly want to thank God for that. I also want to thank God for how he protected my sister, because she was in, we was actually on our way to church in Lumberton on this afternoon, and my sister's tire blew out. Well, she had a blowout in the middle of the road, and her car landed in a ditch. But I just want to thank God for how she made it out of the car, and she, you know, how she's, I just want to thank God for sparing her life again. And I'm just asking you all to just keep me uplifted in your prayers. And please pray that the Lord continue to use me and that he will continue to get the glory out of my life.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, you stay encouraged. You just keep pressing and doing what the Lord has appointed you to do. Amen. Your best days is ahead of you.
Amen. Amen.
Your best days are ahead of you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Who is the young lady that you were speaking of? Is she on the line now? Or?
Yes, she's on the line.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Good evening, Apostle.
God bless you. What's your name again?
It's Prophetess Seabrook.
Prophetess Seabrook?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, praise God. Praise God. Well, all of y'all stay encouraged. Have you made it to Atlanta yet, or that's next week, right?
That's next week. I'm still trying to get out of here.
Okay. All right.
I didn't even know that you had prayer line on last night. I didn't get no text.
Yep, I sent it out at everybody. You got it.
Facebook?
I sent it.
I didn't get it.
Yep, I sent it out. I post them on. I sent them on the phone text. I sent them on the Twitter and Facebook.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't even know. So my bad. I didn't even know. So I'm sorry. I should have known. I should have checked my Facebook on last night.
Yeah. I've been posting them. Actually, I started posting it Friday night. Yeah.
Okay, but no, I mean, I'm so sorry. I mean, if I would have known, I mean, forgive me.
Yeah, and last night we wasn't able to record it, but tonight's is recorded. So, and I know last night was pretty full, and we had an awesome time last night. But God knew.
Did.
I do. So whoever missed out on last night just wasn't meant for them to be there, probably. And that's
Lord,
that's no offense to y'all, but you know it was awesome last night. It really was.
Yes, God.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, forgive me, Apostle. Here, if I would have known, I should have checked my Facebook. I was busy on yesterday. I had to go do something on yesterday. But please forgive me.
That's all right.
I had a busy day on last night on yesterday. All day. It was kind of like, you know, I'll just put it like that. It was busy.
Yeah. Well, amen. Well, you was at least able to make it tonight. Amen. This was I think this tonight's word was a needed word too, because a lot of times, you know, we hear about apostles and we see apostles. We hear about all the apostolic conferences and everything, but a lot of us really don't know what it really takes behind the scenes when it concerns the apostles too. And
yeah,
I think
true.
That everybody needs to know that, whether you're an apostle or not.
Amen. True. And question, Apostle Hill, did you get in touch with your daughter?
Yes. Yes, I just have to forward her your information.
Okay, because yeah. I'm still kind of like waiting. It's like I'm in surprise for that too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I just have to forward her all the information so she can get in touch with you.
Okay.
Matter of fact, one of them on the call tonight, I think. Let me check and see. Shamikia.
Hey.
Can you give her a word tonight?
I would just say just to keep praying and keep standing in the presence of God, because he has direction for you for something that you're about to partake in, and just continue to stay in his presence and hear his voice so you'll know which direction to go in.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I'm gonna exchange y'all number. I give you her number. You can call her, and just talk to her. I'm pretty sure you can bless her with some more. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise God. Anybody else tonight?
Praise God. This is Lisa from Phoenix.
God bless you, Sister Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Yeah. You sound so much different now from when I talked to you last.
I feel different.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Praise God. Praise God. That is good to hear. Amen. I'll share this word in general. It's about seven of you on the phone tonight. I don't know. I was going to say several, but I heard the Lord say seven. But it's about seven of you on the phone tonight. God is restoring your joy. This is going to be a week where you want to really practice smiling in the Holy Ghost. And when you do that, you're going to find God is restoring your joy. Things are going to come upon you, and they're going to be little things, but these little things are things that agitate you and really try to throw you off focus from time to time. But as you begin to smile about everything that's going on in your life and really continue to trust God and believe him, God's going to be restoring your joy in the midst of those little interruptions, those little testing trials that's coming your way on this week. So tonight I'm going to encourage you, smile more. Be willing to show your teeth, grin your lips, whichever way you do it. Amen. And some of y'all like to take pictures of yourself. Take pictures of yourself smiling in the Holy Ghost, and just let the Lord use you. I'm telling you, it's gonna be contagious when some of y'all do it. Not all seven of y'all, but some of y'all got a way of making the whole room light up when you smile. I'm encouraging you to do that because God is restoring your joy on this week. Matter of fact, even the young lady that I just spoke with in Springfield, Illinois, in the cab, Yolanda, I hear the Lord saying the same thing for you. God wants to restore your joy. Amen. Smile in the Holy Ghost. Believe God on this week and watch and see what he does for you. It's something about when he restores our joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so you are strengthened when there's joy in your life, when there's the joy of the Lord. So take advantage of that. This is a good week for you to really advance because of the joy of the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Who's that?
I just wanted to say hello. This is Charlotte. Pastor Charlotte.
Bless you, Charlotte. Is that you in? So that's you on a North Georgia call. Okay.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Amen. Bless you. Was you able to catch the whole thing?
I caught the end part of it.
Okay.
I didn't get to catch the whole thing.
Good. Okay, if y'all didn't catch the whole teaching, please make sure you go back in the recording and listen to it, because I believe that, I've actually taught this word before, but it's been a long time since I taught it, and I really don't teach it as much, but the Lord did release me to go there tonight, and I don't think I've ever taught it like that when I did teach it. But I want to encourage y'all to get a hold to it and hear what the Lord is saying, because I know that God is doing some different things in the area of the apostles and the prophets in this season. And it's good. It's what I call good spiritual bolts and nuggets and for us to get a hold to. Amen. Amen. Anybody else tonight?
God bless you, Apostle Hill. This is Denise. How are you? It's been
bless you, Denise. I know I ain't heard from you in like 6 moons in a couple of Sundays.
No, I know. But because you keep moving.
Amen.
It's good to hear you, though. I was so glad. I was like, oh, my goodness. It's been a while. It's great to teaching tonight. I really enjoyed it.
Amen. That's good. I thought I was going to get a chance to meet you. I was out that way. I think it might have been in 09. I was out that way with my brother. And,
okay.
He had received his doctrines. They made a big deal out of it, too. He had all kind of folks come in from all over California. It was nice. It was real nice.
Wow.
It was real good. Yeah, we still doing the thing. We moved from Indiana. We in Texas now, and God is doing a new thing. So I'm excited about it, and just looking forward to him doing some more. Say what now?
You kept saying Texas. I'm like, okay, I'm assuming that they moved.
We've been here 6 months now. Mhm.
God is doing it.
Whew. Yeah, I was a part of that prophetic word when it came to those geographical shifts. I was a part of that. So, and I see many more, going to be doing that soon. So, I believe in doing what the Lord say do. And if he say, it's time to get up and go, I'm going to be like Abraham, and I'm going to grab my family and get to going. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anybody else on the line tonight? God bless you. I see Apostle E.O. Turner. God bless you. Oh, he's in the chat room. Okay. Let me see. Who else on the line here? Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you guys that's in the chat room, if you got any questions, feel free to ask. Amen. Otherwise, I don't know. We already want to keep coming on Thursday nights, and I want to keep consistent with that as long as there's no other distractions. And we'll continue in this vein. Look for us to start up the School of the Prophets. I'm looking at the last Saturday of this month. And if you haven't, take the opportunity to visit our website at www.kingdomexousia.org. Again, that's www.kingdomexousia.org. That is our new website now. Feel free to email us. You can also get on the email updates. All you got to do is click the button up at the top of the page when you log in. We got one of those Facebook and Twitter buttons on there. All of that stuff is on there. Just feel free to contact us. If y'all are looking for us to come and minister in your church, I'm taking invitations. That is something, but just give me enough time to get some heads up because I still work. Amen. I'm still making tents. Amen. So give me a heads up. Amen. So I can put some time in to get off, and I definitely will come out and minister and share a word from the Lord as well. Like I said, one of the greatest mantles that God has placed on my life is in the area of the prophetic and teaching. Amen. But we do believe in accountability and responsibility as it pertains to ministry, too. That's something that I take serious. So, I mean, and if you're looking to come into our network, amen, if you're looking for ministry covering, we are open to that. We will spend time in prayer for it before we make it official. Just because you say the Lord said you're my apostolic father, that don't mean a hill of beans to me.
Amen.
So I will definitely pray about it and see what the Lord say, and spend some time with Him and with you before we make it official. The Bible says, the Bible says to know them that labor among you. So I'm checking fruit. I'm like Jesus. I want to see what you got on your fig tree.
Amen.
Amen.
I would just like to make this one quick announcement. I know it's like way, way early in advance, but for everybody that is in the North Carolina area, we will be having our youth conference in September. So I'm just letting everybody know in advance. As far as dates and stuff, I will make sure that I keep in contact and let you all know. Also, we will have our men's and women's conference in May. So, if we have any more, if y'all have any more questions, y'all can just inbox me on Facebook. And I'm just asking everyone to keep my pastor uplifted in your prayers as he get ready to travel to New York to minister on Wednesday through Friday of this week.
Amen. Amen. Are you in the chat room?
For me?
Yes.
No, sir, I'm on the telephone.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you could log into the chat, if you could put that in there.
What I can do is I can send it to your inbox.
Okay.
I can send it to your inbox.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll post it once I receive it then.
Okay.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Anybody else tonight?
Hey, Apostle. This is Makisha. I would just like to request a general prayer.
Okay. All right. Say your name again. I heard an extra. I heard something before Makisha.
Makisha.
Lakeisha. Okay. All right. Praise God.
M-A. Makisha.
Makisha. Okay. Yes. Got it. Makisha. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Makisha. Amen. All right. I'm hearing the Lord say you need to spend some more time in prayer. And I prophesied to you before, didn't I? Makisha?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm hearing the Lord say that. You need to spend more time in prayer. More and more time in prayer. But I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask the Lord to strengthen your prayer life. But what I want you to do is on this next week, I want you to commit the next 7 days to prayer. If you only start off at 5 minutes a day, commit to it. And then try to build it up every day. Build it up to 10 minutes. Build it up to 15 minutes. Build it up to 20 minutes until you get to a place where you're really laying out in the presence of God on your face and crying out to God. One of the things that I like to do, and I don't know, maybe other folks like to do this too, but sometimes I like to, you know, I'll go and I'll search out some of the most awesomest prophetic worship music I can find. I even had an opportunity to meet a lot of prophetic worship leaders. As a matter of fact, I met Steve Mitchell over a month ago, and one of the songs that y'all probably heard me play tonight was by another worship leader that he often sings with. Her name is Joanne McFadden. A lot of these leaders have developed a lot of powerful prophetic music. You know, put that on during your prayer time and just, you know, close the door up, turn the phone off, turn the computer off, you know, allow yourself to get to a place where nobody can disturb you and really spend some time in prayer and seeking the face of God. That's so important. And I kind of hit on a lot of that last night on the importance of our commitment in laying before the Lord. You're going to find some things begin to change in your life when you do that. You know, if for those that's in ministry, those that's listening to me tonight, that is where you find God anointing you for your call. It's during times of prayer and seeking the face of God. God will anoint you for your call through that. Amen. Father, we thank you for Makisha tonight, Lord. We bless you for your presence. We bless you for your glory. Father, I pray that you would just now, Lord, begin to strengthen her commitment in prayer with you, God, and that you would just endow her with your presence like never before. God, I pray that you would even quicken her spirit, God. Lord, that you would even put her into remembrance, even if she had to hear my voice, God, in the days to come, Lord, to remember to go and pray, God. Father, let it be quickened in her spirit even now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and that she be charged to move into that thing, Father, when you speak to her heart. And Father, I pray that you would just anoint her, Father, to be able to do all that you have called her to do, Father. Anoint her in the marketplace. Anoint her in her home, God. Anoint her hands, God, and teach her hands to war, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would just continually, Father, continually bless her and her family, God, and that you would keep her from all hurt, harm, and danger, Father. We decree and we declare supernatural peace to exceed over her life, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you right now, God, that you are strengthening her in her body, and you are strengthening her in her mind, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I rebuke every spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation away from her, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, the School of the Prophets, I'm going to set that time up. I'm really pushing for the last Saturday of this month. I'm looking forward to actually doing it live from an actual conference room, and we're probably going to put it on gotomeeting.com. You'll be able to get in. It is a $25 registration fee for those that's interested. Only reason it's a charge, last time we did it for free. We started out with so many different people, and it was so much distraction that it was a hindrance to the people that were serious about it. And so, you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Son, we'll make them put their money where their heart is." I know some of y'all are going to disagree with that, but that's all right. If you pay for something, that you're gonna commit to it. Amen. And plus, it helped us cover the cost for using the GoToMeeting as well as the conference room as well. So, because we're going to invite some people in the city to be a part of that as well. And there will be a prophetic word for all those that's in attendance, and as well as some material that I'll try to put together as well. And I'm actually going to set aside another time too, where we do one strictly for women and for prophetess. You know, we in a world today where the women call themselves prophets now versus prophetess. Last time I checked in the Word of God, you know, and it referred to a woman in the prophetic, it said prophetess. So I don't know where they got that from. Maybe I'm just some old-fashioned apostle or something. I don't know. But we actually did a specific teaching for women that operate in the prophetic, the emerging prophetess. And I scripturally pull out of context, out of the scriptures, specifically all 11 mentioned prophets in the Bible. And we explain that. Somebody got their phone on speaker. If you can, please put your phone on mute, because it is a distraction. It's got an echoing sound. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much. Uh-oh, there we go again. If you got your phone on speaker, please put it on mute. That way you don't have to echo the sound. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Anybody else tonight? God bless you, Apostle. I see you on the phone.
God bless you, Apostle. How are you today, my brother?
Good, good, good. Bless the name of the Lord.
Amen. All is well. I was just passing through, and I noticed your call and thought I would kind of join in with you.
Amen. Well, it was good to have you tonight. Praise God.
Amen. Bless you, sir.
Amen. Where you from, Apostle?
I am in the Orlando, Florida area. I transitioned here a few years ago from Michigan. I pastor several churches in Michigan, in the Detroit, Michigan area, and still do. I travel back and forth. And then when the Lord called me from my churches in Michigan, I did not want to go.
Yeah,
and if you would have told me that I was going to leave my churches there in Michigan, I would not have believed you. But it was a rough exit. But we began ministry here in Florida, and we have churches around the U.S. and outside the U.S. But the Lord is blessing, and when God tell you to do something, I believe that we have to move in that timing, and if it's for you to do it, and God speaks to your heart, my best suggestion is for the men and women of God to move in that timing. You don't want God to force you out. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Right about that.
Yeah, man. Then when we got out and came to Florida, the enemy just attacked in different areas, physically and. You know, naturally, but God has the victory. We got the victory through Jesus Christ, and all is well. Amen.
Amen. Y'all got what I call in Florida. Y'all got them peninsula and the marine demons down there.
Oh my God, that's just the beginning of it, bro.
Yeah. I was in. I ministered in. I was in Hollywood, Florida, mm-hmm. which is right outside of Fort Lauderdale,
mm-hmm.
a couple of years ago. And man, they got some odd devils down there, boy. When you talk about marine spirits,
and
if you've never encountered devils before, you know, coming into a region like that, you wouldn't have an idea of what a devil was.
Absolutely.
They very sneaky down there.
Absolutely. We're in the Orlando area, mm-hmm. and we have the same issues here. It's completely different than Michigan. You know, different regions, different enemies, different devils. And,
right.
You know, we are encountering a whole complete different region of enemies here. But we cannot, as I listen to your message, we cannot do ministry in which God has spoke to me the same thing. You cannot do ministry as you did in one region, because each region is different.
Mm-hmm.
It has a different mindset, a different set of enemies, a different set of devils. And you have to strategically be placed by the Spirit of God so you can deal with the different enemies in the different regions. I was very comfortable and became accustomed to the enemy in the Michigan area because, you know, one of the churches there that I passed, well, both of them, we started from scratch. One of them has a little over 400 members. The other one has maybe a little over 5. And we've become very comfortable there, and we knew the enemy and knew how to fight the enemy. But when you come into a region where you don't know anybody, and God has to completely lead you and guide you in a different area, it's more than a notion, my brother. I mean, you
right.
really have to, scripture said, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. That scripture really came to light to me when we transitioned here to Florida.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that one. we've been the same way coming to Texas. We pastored a church there, and we was kind of already being trained in that area because we had opened up a church in Evansville, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and then we shut that down and started concentrating on at home around Hammond and Gary. And
yep.
Before you know it, we were assisting and helping other churches. We were overseeing some churches over in Illinois. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another ministry of the north side, and then one over in South Bend, and God did us the same way. He said, it's time to go.
Yeah, yeah. It was the same way with us. We appointed pastors over those churches there in Michigan. Actually, my son took over, appointed him pastor as one, and appointed another pastor over another one. But we still, travel, back and forth, overseeing those churches. So, but it's been a blessing. It's the role of the apostle is not a easy road. If someone is called to the apostleship, they really need to make sure that is God that's calling them and leading them. It's a lot of people just picking up the name apostle like they're picking up, like they're picking up anything off the street. But it's more than that. You know, many are called, but as you know, few are chosen. Amen. So you have to be really careful when you carry that name of apostle because you don't know what you're going to encounter.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That is so true. Amen. That is so true. That's so true. Apostle, I just hear the Lord saying for you, though. I hear the Lord saying that he's restoring the years of your youth.
Hallelujah.
And he's giving you a new level of strength and a greater anointing to go on and carry through your assignment. You still
Hallelujah.
Got so much more yet in store for you.
Hallelujah.
And even with that transition, I see where you were a little discouraged with that. But God said he had something even greater. And even in that region where you are now, there are at least several churches that need that anointing and that assistance that's on your life to place that apostolic mantle on their ministries. And I actually talked about this earlier. You find a lot of prophetic ministries. And they move very good in the prophetic, but they lack that apostolic mantle on it.
Yes.
And I see that the Lord's going to use you mightily in that because of your years of wisdom and the years of knowledge that he's given you to impact those regions by placing that apostolic mantle and revealing to them that seal of the apostle that's on your life in those ministries. They'll recognize you as a seasoned apostle. And so, yeah, you getting ready to explode in a greater revelation and even greater, deeper truths as the restored present-day truths are going to come forth out of your ministry in the days to come.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I receive that, and you, the Spirit of the Lord revealed that unto you because, during that transition, it was a rough transition, and it was hard for me to give up, being at a place where everyone knows your name, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was born and raised in a religious order. I was born and raised in the Kojic Church, and when I was consecrated as apostle and chief apostle over the International Fellowship of Covenant Churches, it was kind of a rough exit. And when I got down here, I was afflicted physically with, a heart condition. And I thought it was all over with. I thought God had forsaken me and had left me. But God has renewed my strength and renewed my vigor. and renew the spirit that is within me to move forward. There's many churches that we, that we oversee and that we have apostolic oversight over, many churches within the U.S. and outside the U.S. But, just keep me, keep us in prayer, Apostle. I'm going to keep up with you.
Amen.
I will be in India in the next few months because we have several churches there. And I would like to keep up with you, send you a few emails, to pray for us during those times that we are there. So you are, you're right on. And anytime the Lord gives you something, my brother, just shoot it to me.
Amen. Well, we definitely got kindred spirits because I grew up in the Church of God in Christ as well.
Oh, get out of here. Oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
Sure did. Amen. I sure did. Matter of fact, I come from a well-known Church of God in Christ in the area up in Gary, Indiana.
Oh, my goodness.
And that man of God moved in signs and wonders.
My goodness.
And you ain't seen nothing like it since.
Yeah. All right.
Amen. That's all right.
Amen.
Yeah, I certainly will. I certainly will. I just saw your website, too, so I'll definitely get your information. I'll shoot you some information over.
All right, then, my brother.
Okay. Praise God. Praise God.
Bless you.
Amen. Anybody else tonight? Y'all know y'all love to hang around the anointing. I ain't mad at you. I do, too. Praise God.
Hey, Apostle Hill.
Bless you. Who's that?
Oh, this is Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson?
In time. In times like this.
Oh, okay. Praise God. God bless you, Phil.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, there's another brother on the line. I just want to thank you for your word, that it was encouraging.
Good. Amen.
And me and my wife was able to catch you because I was actually setting up her site.
Okay.
And I had seen your site, but I never went in, and we went on tonight. And I'm going to tell you, your word is so anointing, and it touched me and my wife, because I would be in bed right now.
Wow.
But that word that was coming forth, it was in agreement with us, so I had to stay up.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad y'all was blessed. Amen. It was a blessing to be able to teach tonight, too. Amen. It really was. Praise God.
Yes,
praise God.
Word in season.
Amen. What are you guys doing? Are you developing a ministry right now, or?
Well, my wife, she has a book ministry.
Oh, okay. All right.
She actually, she's written 5 books, and so she was putting her, was getting her website together. Getting her ministry together.
Okay.
Her talk show together.
Amen. Well, you sound like you're the one that's the most thorough, though.
No, I sound like it, but she is. She go. I just got that started now. Some other things that she gonna have to help me with.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Amen.
No.
Well, y'all definitely. I can say this, and I'm gonna share this prophetically because I hear the Lord say your marriage, your relationship certainly complements each other, and keep encouraging each other in everything that y'all doing. It's gonna bless some other marriages, and I don't know if she's running about that, but she may want to at some point in time begin to share some of the experiences that you all have had together, because it's gonna be a blessing in the kingdom of God for people who have struggled with their relationships. And you may not ever thought about it like that, but I certainly, I'm hearing the Lord say that, your relationship will be an encouragement to others that's really trying to make it. And especially in the area of helping one another, because a lot of times you got spouses, you got one spouse doing one thing, going after their career, and another spouse doing one thing, going after theirs, and they're never helping each other. Well, you certainly complement each other with that, and that's something that God wants to really begin to release in the kingdom and married couples, where they're not only enjoying one another, but they're encouraging one another in developing their God-given talents in everything that they're doing. Some folks just don't know how to do it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We receive that. We receive.
Praise God. And that is apostolic.
That is.
anytime you help and establish something, and especially in the area of relationships, that's apostolic. You know, you helping develop, and you have strategy to implement that development. And you guys got it.
Oh.
Amen.
Amen.
And there's a book that need to come out of you too.
Oh, come on now. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't get late. Don't get me to shouting up in here. Oh,
amen. Come on with it, brother. Come on with that book.
You're pulling it out. Jesus.
Amen. Bless the Lord. God bless you, Elder Brian. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Good. It's certainly glad. I'm so glad everybody was able to share with us tonight. Amen. I'm not going to say hang here tight. I got to get up and go to work just like everybody else, too, in the morning. But we want to definitely thank you all again. And should be sure to tune back in on next Thursday. That is my goal, to come back on next Thursday. And I'm probably going to piggyback off of where I left off tonight.
Amen.
And I may even touch on at some point on how apostles and prophets relate with one another too as well. One of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament is in Haggai, and in the relation with the prophet Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, you know, and how they relate with one another. So we might touch on that a little bit on next week as well. So be sure to tune in. Again, get my email updates if you haven't. Visit our website. It's at www.kingdomexousia.org, and we're right here in Temple, Texas. If you want to sow a seed, the information is on the website. If you want to partner with us, and certainly again, we'll be glad to come out and minister in the city near you. Amen. I am taking invitations, like I said before. So if you feel led in your spirit to bring us in, we'll be certainly glad to come. Praise God. Amen. And I want to look forward to hearing from all of you again on Thursday. Amen. Did anybody have anything else they wanted to share tonight?
No, Pastor Hill, I just want to say that I pray that you come off that job and you do full-time ministry, that God provides a way to give you the income where you don't have to work for nobody.
Amen. I'm praying for it, too.
That's what I'm speaking at in your life.
Amen. Amen.
That you're going to do his work in this season, that you don't
Amen. Need
full-time ministry.
Amen. I've been praying that, too, because I'm believing God that the anointing that's on my life can't contain me on this job.
That's right. It can't. Oh, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. But one of the things that I have known also is that the level of responsibility that God has given me in the marketplace is usually equivalent to what he's getting ready to release to me in the spirit. And when I moved here to Texas, I'm actually working for the same company that I was working for in Indiana. But when I moved here, I took on a job promotion as well as a raise. And I was given a responsibility that some days can be overwhelming. And I oversee a large program, very large program. And it's much more than I've ever done ever. And so it's a blessing because God is teaching me on how to work up under pressure and how to make decisions that impact lives immediately. So I'm thanking God for that. I can't complain. I can't complain. That's the truth. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, nothing else said. God bless you all tonight. Amen. Be sure, if you didn't get a chance to hear the entire portion of the teaching tonight, please be sure to go and listen to it in the recording. It's certainly going to bless you. Amen. Feel free to visit all of our websites again. You can visit our blog post. Amen. You might not be able to sew. Amen. But we got a blog post that's up. It's Apostle L.A. Hill at blogspot.com. I think that's what the name of it is. And you can click on the advertisement, and we get paid from that. Amen. So just to click the advertisement, you would be a blessing to us. Amen. So be sure to visit that. Matter of fact, I did a teaching on Elder Brian's broadcast a couple of weeks ago, and the very thing I taught on is on that blog. Amen. So if you want to go over there and take a look at that, amen, like I said, you can be a blessing just clicking on the advertisement. Amen. So we would certainly be glad to hear from you. Just visit the website again. And you can also call the ministry. We have a 1-800 number. You can leave a message if you want to get in contact with us as well. Amen. Praise God.
What time is it on Thursday? On next Thursday?
Thursday we start at, and look for it if you're on the Facebook, and you can also, again, go to the webpage. And we're going to start at, it's 8:30 Central Standard Time, 9:30 Eastern.
Okay, okay.
So, Apostle Hill, are we having prayer line Thursday, so will it be 6:30 my time, or are you having it next Thursday?
Yeah, if you're on the West Coast, it is 6:30.
No, I mean, are we having prayer line this week on this Thursday, or are we having it next Thursday?
This Thursday coming up.
Okay.
It's every Thursday. Yeah. Every Thursday, unless I don't post it, it's every Thursday.
No, because I remember last week when I called you, you said that the phone lines was before.
Yeah, I actually did. I tried to get on. I got it fixed today. For some reason, my PIN number was crossed up on another account. I don't know how that happened, but it's fixed today. So praise God, it's working fine.
Okay.
Amen. But we'll be on next Thursday.
Okay.
Amen.
And it'll be the same passcode and everything as tonight, right?
Yep. Same as tonight.
Okay. All righty.
Amen. All right. God bless y'all. Y'all have a good evening. Everybody get some rest. Amen. And remember, make sure y'all smiling in the Lord on this week. It's going to be so important. God is restoring the joy back into the church. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God bless y'all. Have a good night.
God bless.
Good night.